Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I thank you for being here on this November 3rd, 2019 day. As we take a look at the state of mind, actually how we deal with our minds and what our minds are all about, something that we are very fragrant about and not very, very insightful with. And we'll talk a little bit about how to do that and maybe change the gestalt of your thinking. I want to remind you that we are in our fall and year-end drive, I should say, for donations and people to become sponsors of our radio program here on Aspire, as well as our TV. It is only, as you know, through your sponsorship that we are allowed to continue and to make these radio programs possible. Our mystery donor is being, as usual, very kind and generous and allowing us to be on the air by matching your donations dollar for dollar. This means your sponsorship as well as just a basic year-end donation. He will match it. And that really helps us pay for all the things we have to do to make radio possible, airtime, everything. And allows me to go to hospice and do all the extra work, the BATMO project that we are now on. I hope you're following that a little bit here. We're doing as much as we can. We're still kind of renovating and building the car here now in Northern California, but it's up and running. And next year, hopefully, it will be in a full boogie tilt, and you can see it. If you're a local, you'll be able to see it. And I will be doing fundraising events for all sorts of people, basically children, sometimes the elderly. We have events for them. It's really a wonderful thing. It's a big outreach to reach people, and you would be surprised how effective it is, more effective than me sitting here on radio trying to teach you the way, the truth, and the light. It's just amazing to me. But anyway, whatever floats your boat, I'm here to help. So your donations really, really go out into this world and touch people's lives in all sorts of ways. I hope you will become a sponsor. I hope you will make a donation. If you go to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org, you will see the big splash page there on year-end donations. If you click on it, it's a wonderful place to make a donation to serve humankind. And believe me, it helps all sorts of people in unique ways. The state of mind, it's an interesting thing, our mind. Buddha said that our mind could be our best friend, could help us more than our mother and fathers. That's not saying much, but more than them. Or it could be our worst enemy. And he is, of course, absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. So the first question comes from Ray. And he lives in, Washington State. And he says, I have been listening to you for many years and enjoy your programs. Thank you. He says, what is a state of mind? I don't understand. It really is an interesting question, the state of mind of a person. What is the state of mind? What constitutes a person's state of mind? Well, typically, it is what the person is prone to via emotions. Nothing affects the pedestrian mentality of us more than our emotions. So whatever our emotions dictate, whatever is their quality at a certain point or a certain place in time, then derives thought. And thought will come up. And, you know, psychologists will say it's the other way around, that the mind influences emotion. But I don't find that to be true at all, especially after years of meditation. It is the emotions that come up from my genetic nature and what my genetics dictate to me and tell me is right, wrong, good, bad, up, down, in, out. And when you start really working on yourself, Ray, if you ever do, you're going to find that a great deal of your difficulty in life has been caused by the state of the mind that you have cultivated through various forms of gratification, mainly calling in certain genetic traits from your emotions, maybe a genetic trait of indifference or whatever is your shtick. All of these things have a way of cultivating and creating a mischief in us. And this mischief really does a lot of damage to us. How much damage does it do? A great deal. We don't know our minds. We don't know what's in them. We just haphazardly use our mind like we maybe would a Kleenex. That's about it. We don't really see into the nature of our mind, how to take care of it. You know, there are certain things you need to do to take care of your body. You know, there are certain things you need to do to take care of your garden, your house, etc. But we don't really think in terms of taking care of our mind. How would one take care of the human mind? Well, there are many things that we have to discipline ourselves with. And this inner discipline is extremely important to the way we live our life. When I live according to the dictates of my emotionality, I live in accord with my genetics, all of them. And there are many, many, many people in my body, and hence many, many people in my brain. And not all of them are, you know, guys and gals you want to be with. A lot of them are just very, very difficult people. They don't live well. They don't want to live well. They live in fear and anger and hate and are always worried about their survival, doing things that make us, shall we say, less loving. I'll give you an example. Success is very important to people. A low self-esteemed person will want success over the truth, the light, and the love that lives within. They will want notoriety. They will want money. They will want people to acknowledge them, accolades. They will live for these things. These are the things that most people will live for and by and under for the sake of just taking care of their mind and not allowing it, in their opinion, to, they're avoiding getting depressed. Depression is a big problem in our country. In this world, it's a big problem. So in that depression, in that sake of trying to avoid being depressed, we will do things with our minds like instead of facing whatever it is that we have to face in our life that would help us understand maybe the truth, the light inside of us, help us understand how to cultivate loving kindness within our heart. We will live more for the sake of getting money and prestige and having people like us, having people adore us, making ourselves appear to be very important people. We want affection from others. We want the love we can get on our skin. And we're not much interested in the love in our authentic heart. Our human heart wants affection from the skin, wants other people to touch it correctly and tell us how much they love us and how important we are to them and they are to us and all of that stuff. And when we do all of this, we aren't taking care of our mind, because our mind then starts adopting the idea, monkey see, monkey do, that you got to do a lot of things to get this kind of affection from people. It's like a monkey organ grinder. You play the organ, and a little monkey runs around and collects the affection from people. It's not healthy at all. Yet, you know, how can you talk people out of this? It's their first instinct to want to be loved from the skin and have people love them. They don't really care about the bigger picture of their life and the meaning and the significance of their living. They think that the significance and meaning is found in what other people think of them. So we go on and on and on with this craziness, never really attempting to do anything that is meaningful, because in doing something meaningful, we might disrupt our life, the way we live, lifestyle that we have. And we just keep this going on and on and on. What is the state of mind? It is, in this case, avoidance. State of mind is fear, always. State of mind is wanting what we don't have or trying to get what we don't have. It's all about fear and hate, actually, towards ourselves. We don't know this. The average person doesn't get this. The average person wouldn't even understand what I'm saying. And that's why we are where we are in this world. Ray, I'm sorry my answer wasn't simpler, but I can boil it down to this. Want nothing with all of your heart, as the Buddha taught. Want nothing with all of your heart. And that corrects everything. But you've really got to understand what the Buddha's statement is all about. It would be good just to sit and ponder it. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the next one comes from Carrie. Carrie does not tell me where he or she lives. I'm going to assume it's a he. My mind is depressed by the world, climate, everything. What can I do about my depression? We can't change the world. How do I accept the unacceptable? Boy, is that a powerful statement. How do I accept the unacceptable? There's a lot of crap going on in the world. There really is. I see it every day in people, just how they drive. You start to see the mentality of people. And it is easy, if you were to allow yourself to do so, to get so depressed. I'll tell you some things that I have found for people that might help you. You need to get involved in something that helps with change. First of all, within yourself. You can't let, as Hawkeye Pierce said in MASH, you can't let the bastard get you, as he was pounding on the chest of his best friend trying to save his life in the operating room. It just, you can't let the bastard get you. You can't let your ego and depression get you. Now, I know there are some of us, many human beings, that are prone to depression. Their biology promotes it. Their psychology promotes it. Their chemistry promotes it. I understand all that. And for that, you may need medication, literally, just to help you augment the biological problems that are going on. But if you're a person who is on the fringes of depression, and you still have a choice to do things that will further depress you by reading the news or anything like that, and you want to go a little further, a little deeper, that is something very unusual. And that there is something there you can do. So here is the key to the whole shamatha, the whole thing. You literally have to discipline yourself to stay away from the state of mind that comes to conclusions about how things are going to happen. There is a difference between being well thought out and that of awareness. I can be very well thought out in thinking that if I do this, or if the earth does this, or if society does that, or if politicians do this, this is going to happen. You can be very well thought out. I have friends and students who are extremely well thought out people. They have an answer for everything in this lifetime. And I mean absolutely everything they have an answer for. But these answers do not promote kindness or peace. They do not bring about inner peace at all. It just makes it more and more difficult for the human being. So you could get depressed there. You have to stay away from all of that. Stay away from the conclusions that your mind can come to. And to understand that even further, if you could see your parents or which parent you have that genetically came to those conclusions and suffered maybe from depression or whatever, then you would really understand why genetically you're doing what you're doing. And I'm keeping it really simple right now. So if that were the case, then you would look at that person and go, I'm not going to live their life. I want to live my own life in my own consciousness, in my own way, to develop consciousness. Now, the awareness thing gives you insight into the bigger picture of your life. If you have awareness, you don't need to just be well thought out. You can see the bigger picture, and in that awareness, you will know what you need to do. And sometimes what you need to do is to get involved in activities or in causes that help people on an individual level. That's what the BATMO Project is for. Me and my students, we do things to help sick children. We do things to help those who can't help themselves. And we undertake it with love and kindness. And in a way in which people don't know who we are. There is no one that I have helped that knows who I really am. That mask thing works really well. They just don't know. And that's the way I want it. I don't want them to know. It is wonderful to do a great deal of good without anyone knowing who you are, to be able to touch and go, as I put it. So when you're really working on yourself, when you are using awareness, you see the needs of others, and you also have a clarity as to how to help them. You have an insight how to help this person. You see it very clearly. My well-thought-out mind will look at it and go, well, you can't do that. Well, you can't do that. Well, you can't do that. Well, if you do that, then this might. But in awareness, you have a much clearer picture of the bigger picture. And you begin to see exactly what you're really all about and not what you think you're about. In doing it this way, in living in this manner, awareness starts to build in you. And this awareness also brings a state of consciousness to you through meditation, inner work. Just denying, literally, without sitting in meditation at all, just denying what your human mind wants to incorporate in your life, what emotions, your human emotions want to dictate to you. Just the ability to say, no, I'm not going there. No, that's not my way anymore. No, I'm not thinking that, or I'm not living in that. Not even talking to your mind. Carrie, if you don't talk to your mind, it has nothing to talk to. And if you listen to your mind, then it has something to talk to. But if you just drop talking to it, and okay, I got to do that. All right, thank you for that. And then arguing with your mind, maybe. You don't do that. You don't do that at all. You just ignore it. I used to say when I was teaching formally, if you were as passive towards your thoughts as you are what I'm trying to teach you, you'd be enlightened by now. Everybody in the audience would just laugh like idiots, but it was true. But they didn't get it because most people, forgive me, don't aspire to spiritual awakening. They just want a cure for their life. They just want to limp along in life, and they want some miracle to make the limp go away, and it just doesn't work like that. There is definite work that has to be done, and most people won't do it. I don't know about you, Carrie. I mean, I don't know you, so I don't know if you're going to do the work or not, but if you don't do the work, you're just going to be depressed. This is a depressing world. We have a lot of unenlightened people who do very ugly things, and it isn't going to change because you and I see that it must change. It just doesn't work like that. You have to really get with it. So there you are, Carrie. I know. Sounds like a lot of work. Be easier to take a pill, wouldn't it? Well, that's what most people do. The pedestrian mentality is always looking for the easy way. Please forgive me. Namaste. Last question from Carol. And where is this? She's in Maine. Maine, that's a long way away. Carol asks, she talks about love in all sorts of emotional ways. And then she says, is love a state of mind, Carol? Well, the way you described love as warm and fuzzy, the way you described love as people being affectionate towards you and you towards them, that's not love. That's human love. That's human stuff. And it's a very painful human stuff that we get involved in. Very, very painful. Real love, authentic love, comes from the goodness of your authentic heart. When Jesus said God is love, he wasn't talking about a man. He wasn't talking about emotional man, emotional woman. He wasn't talking about any of that. He was saying God is love. And if you really sit with that in your meditation, if you were just to sit and contemplate the reality of that, the depth of that statement, it would change your whole life. God is love, not a concept, not an emotion, not an affection. It is none of the things that you and I attribute to love, not one single thing. So when he says God is love, what is he saying? You can only understand this through awareness. If you sit and want nothing with all of your heart, as the Buddha said, just sit and want nothing and listen to that statement, God is love. You will start to mature, and this will be very annoying to your ego. People want miracles in their life. They want someone to swoop into their life and tell them they're okay or take away their suffering, their depression. Just take it away. Take it away. But it doesn't work like that. Whatever I've gotten myself into, I've got to get my own self out of. And if I have indulged my emotions to such a degree that I've made it difficult or impossible for me to mature past my emotions, that's up to me. I'm going to have to really discipline myself. The effort of swinging to the right to get to the middle and stay there, you're going to have to swing to the left in an extreme way, you know, as far as the mind's concerned. What do I mean? Discipline. Discipline. Not doing those things that hurt you. That's how I define it. Now, the hurt comes in a lack of awareness. When I am unaware and my body can have dominion and mastery over me, I am cooked. But the moment I question that whole thing of being cooked and I no longer accept the idea of what my body impulses me to do, and I live in the kindness of the heart, the kindness of insight, the kindness of spiritual awareness, now something of the other shore can reach me and a goodness will come into me, a goodness of the light that lives within me. And that is a very powerful experience for all of us. We mask our stupidity with thinking that we can just talk ourselves into and out of spiritual stuff, and it can't be done. Just because you have a knowledge of whatever it is that you assume is spiritual doesn't mean you know it. To know it is something very special. It is to live in the constant of discipline, inner discipline, no longer to do that. Not do the things that hurt me. That's a very big shtick. I'm out of here. I hope that helped you. I really do. And thank you for your beautiful question. I know it's sometimes very hard to understand these things, but if you're patient, you'll get it. I guarantee it. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful, beautiful weekend, and I'll see you next weekend here on Aspire. Please forgive me, won't you? I hope so. Namaste.